Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in on this Thursday morning. Nice and toasty outside this morning, isn't it? Single digits in some spots. So be careful out there. There's a potential for some ice on the roads where something melted yesterday. And, you know...
And more snow tomorrow,
by the way. Yeah, I saw that. A dusting to 1 inch is what I was told from the meteorologist this morning. Isn't that what Dave Murray said?
I thought I heard that. Initially, I thought I heard 1 to 3 inches, and then I think that they adjusted it and said up to an inch. But I think after the foot of snow that we received in the St. Charles area the other day, I'm kind of ready for the snow to be no more.
Yeah. So. So I set off a little bit of a firestorm yesterday on Facebook. I'll have to say I'm adjusting my monitor here as we speak, which is why I'm grunting. So thanks, girl. So I put the Facebook post out there. I had to drive and get my daughter last night because we haven't let her drive yet since the storm. Not because the highways now, 3 days out, 4 days out from the storm, aren't clean. You can now see most of the lanes on Highway 40, finally.
Most.
But the side roads suck.
I know.
The outer roads, like the north outer 40 and the and south outer 40 roads, are still snow-packed.
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell are these people, right? So okay, I'm okay with that. It's a secondary road. You had a historic level of snow we haven't had in a while. I don't know that it broke any records, but we got a lot of snow. I'll give you that. I get off of 4064 going eastbound at 141. The ramp looked like it had been virtually untouched by a snowplow. Now, I know it's been plowed at some point, but it's completely snowpacked. That's why I couldn't let my daughter drive to where she needed to get to. So we drove her over there and had to go back and pick her up. And my question is, how is this a thing?
It's been frustrating. I know you're saying that most lanes of I-64 or the major interstates across the St. Louis area are in good shape. And yes, I agree with that. But it is a little scary at parts where you're in a lane and all of a sudden you realize it's basically ended because there's a giant pile of snow that has not been pushed aside and you're quickly getting over.
Yeah, well, here's my take on this. I covered dozens of snowstorms when I was at Channel 4 over the years. 20 years I spent there as a television reporter. I covered all kinds of storms. I went to MoDOT every winter, did the mandatory interview with the district engineer out there. What are you going to do? Here's what we're doing. We're prepping this. We're doing that. And you know what? The day after the storm, the roads were clear. That's not happening anymore. Something changed in MoDOT. And here's what I'm told by people that used to work out there. Here's what changed. there, I know several personally, several people, engineers, who left MoDOT because they were underpaid, right? And they could walk out the door and double their salary going to work for a private engineering firm somewhere. So the best and brightest, for the most part, left. Same with the snowplow drivers, right? Somebody pointed out on one of my Facebook page that the drivers in St. Louis County may get 35,000 a year, 40,000 a year, something like that. Once in Illinois, are getting 70, and you're not getting the quality. Well, I don't know what it is. There used to be an attitude among those snowplow drivers that we're going to get out there. This is our job. You have one job. We're going to get it done. And now, from what I'm hearing from several different sources, there's a that's too dangerous kind of attitude, or I'm not going to work that many hours. You're going to have to find somebody else. They don't have enough people. They don't have a commitment to the job. You know, I know it sucks to drive a big snowplow truck up and down the highway after a storm. I know that sucks. But you got one job. And if the people in a one-ton pickup truck with a snowplow on the front of it can clean my street down to the pavement. My street is dry. Why can't somebody in a multi-ton dump truck with a big plow on the front of it not get the interstates and the ramps clean? That's got to be the priority, mm-hmm. And it just hasn't been.
Can we also have some thoughts and prayers for the parents who are now going on day 3 of their kids not being in school? Some of them are just having a straight snow day, and many of them I've heard, like, for example, St. Louis Public Schools, they've gone to virtual days, but that still requires that is a waste of time, arguably, but that still requires, in many cases, if the kids are younger, for the parents to stay home. So if they both work outside of the home, one of them is having to potentially restructure their week to try to make sure that they're able to be home for their kid to do virtual.
I got an idea. If you're one of those parents, channel your anger to the street department, because they're the reason the schools can't reopen, because the secondary roads suck and you can't get a bus down them. This has just been mishandled from the get-go. I'm sorry, but you got to call it for what it is. Somebody, heads need to roll over this. What you need to do to the next person is forget DEI. We need meritocracy. Hire somebody that can get the roads cleaned. And if they can't, fire them and hire the next person. I heard lots of complaints, and I heard one name mentioned over and over again in the post on Facebook. I don't know the guy. I might have interviewed him over the years over at MoDOT. I think he's been around for a while. He's apparently the one in charge in St. Louis County. Drive him over to Southern Illinois and interview him with the dry roads behind him and ask him why we didn't have that in St. Louis County. Where are the investigative reporters knocking the door down at MoDOT to ask those questions? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's a fair question.
But is it the municipalities, too? Because it's a lot. I know MoDOT obviously does the main roads, but they're not just the ones in charge of these side streets.
No, St. Louis County is working on it.
But even in the St. Charles County area, yesterday I'm driving snow-packed roads. So it's the municipalities and it's MoDOT. And I don't know why they can't seem to get their acts together, but it's been a problem.
It has definitely been a problem. So glad we're back in the studio. Carl and I had a great time in Jeff City yesterday. Thank you guys for your support. I thought we got you some good information out of there. Of course, John Patterson got voted in as speaker yesterday, as we expected. Only about 10 people had the intestinal fortitude, the cojones, you might call them, to stand up and vote for our friend Justin Sparks under the threat of you'll never get a leadership position or a committee if you do this. That's the way politics run in the state of Missouri. But they did. They stood up and they said, no, we're going to do what's right. We're here representing our constituents. This is what we think should happen. Now, I met John Patterson yesterday for the first time. Seems like a nice guy. I don't know him. He's not from this part of the state. He'll be the speaker, and he promised he'd come on and talk to me. So we'll have him on here and find out what it is he's planning to do down in Jeff City. Carl, I know we're a little overdue here. I went on a little bit of a soapbox there on the roads, but it was well-deserved. Let's get to the shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This is going to likely be the most destructive fire in state history based on what I've seen over the last 12 to 24 hours.
What a complete disaster in Southern California. The question being raised now is what could possibly have been done? Apparently, a lot more could have been done in advance, despite the fact that there were 100-mile-an-hour winds.
January 6th, the Democrats applauding themselves.
Oh, I'm sorry, Juneteenth?
Yeah, for, yes, Juneteenth. For peaceful transfer of power to Hitler.
Yeah.
Greg Gutfeld kind of hitting the nail right on the head there, wasn't he? As he often does on his show.
How does it feel to be back at the U.S. Capitol, Mr. President?
It feels great.
Is your party on the same page?
Couldn't feel better.
There he is, the president-elect and the future First Lady again, and again First Lady, Melania Trump, arriving in D.C. They're there, not for the inauguration yet, but for Jimmy Carter's state funeral that takes place today.
Neighborhoods digging their cars out of the icy, snowy mess has really been quite the challenge. And with how treacherous some of the streets still are, many families are preparing for another day off of school.
Yeah, that story... is one that we did every year as well at Channel 4. And that is 4 or 5 days after a snowstorm, the residents of St. Louis vent their frustration on local TV stations because their streets aren't plowed. Carl Middleman, what is the situation right now in St. Louis Hills?
It is full of snow on every street. And if you try to get to a main thoroughfare, you have to go through a snowbank.
How many years have you lived there, Carl?
My entire life.
Have they ever plowed the side streets in St. Louis Hills?
Maybe in the 70s.
Why is that? Because as a taxpayer, why would you not get your street plowed? I don't care if it's a side street.
The streets are too narrow, and that would just bury the cars.
The streets are too narrow. Like, when they were designed, a big snow plow was not part of the equation. And they decided a long time ago it was more liability than it was worth to try to fit a smaller snowplow down the side streets in St. Louis, because people don't move their cars. They park on the street. You bury them if you're able to get the plow through. And if you slide sideways just a little bit, you've caused tens of thousands of dollars in damage to the vehicles that are parked there.
So you're just
so they just
out
gave
of
up.
Luck?
They just gave up a long time
ago.
Well,
the other part of the problem, and I was saying how USPS isn't delivering mail today in honor of former President Jimmy Carter, but the issue is that many people in St. Louis, apparently including Carl Middleman, have not received mail all week because how would the mail trucks even access the mailboxes, right?
Where did that go?
They might want to change that motto for this week. It's not really held up well. Hasn't aged well.
Somebody got in there and thought, now why would we say something dumb like that? Because it might be a risk to somebody's life if we have to deliver mail in the snow.
Is that LaJoy's fault?
I don't know. I don't know whose fault it is, but
Amazon delivered a package to us. I could see we had almost a foot of snow in St. Charles. I could see their footprints walking it up to our doorstep.
Carl, let's get to the national anthem, please.
Hey, Jeremy Boyer, wake up.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm 77 years old, man. I can't walk up these hills. It's like Mount Everest there. It's like, you know, pretty steep. So, you know, it's just, I posted this on X, but Sarah was on with her 8-year-old niece last night. And she came out, I'm sorry, just, you know, one day you're swimming in the pool and the next day it's all gone. But she came out with her little Yeti piggy bank. For us to rebuild our house.
Wow. Actor James Woods, one of my favorite Twitter ex-followers, follows, I should say, not followers, love the guy, lost his home. He's one of the people that lost, one of the many people who've had their homes wiped out by these Pacific Palisades fires. And it's devastating. It's devastating. And the question if this was a one-off, if this didn't happen every year or every couple of years in California, you'd say to yourself, wow, what a horrible tragedy. You know, the hurricane, what was it? What was the hurricane that came through Florida and went
Helene
up through the Carolinas? Like, nobody's ever seen that before. It's never been that bad. That you say to yourself, wow. You understand how people might not have been prepared for that. Not in this case. You know, the mayor of L.A., remember Maxine Waters? Well, one of her favorite cohorts was a numbskull named Karen Bass. She used to be a congresswoman from Southern California. She left Congress to run for mayor in L.A. No idea what the hell she's doing. The biggest thing she's ever run is a congressional office. No clue on how to run a city the size of L.A. She was in Africa on some, I don't know, in Ghana or something. I don't know where the hell she was.
She was attending the inauguration of the new president.
Why? There. Why is the mayor of L.A. in Ghana?
Supposedly it was part of some Biden administration presidential delegation.
So, in other words, she had no business being there. They just cut millions of dollars out of the fire department budget. The department is riddled with DEI, so you've got a bunch of incompetence there to begin with. And she wouldn't answer questions when she landed back in LAX. Go to cut three, please.
Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Have you nothing to say today? Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position? Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster?
This woman is staring at the ground at this point. She will not answer
no
any questions.
For them.
Nothing. She's standing, staring at the ground, would not utter a word. And when the fire department went to hook up the hoses, there was no water pressure because they hadn't refilled the reservoir, which you would need to do that. You know why? Snail darter. We find out. President Trump's been bitching about this for years. The water problems in Southern California aren't because of drought. It's because these idiots have mismanaged their water supply. Gavin Newsom bears a big responsibility for that. Donald Trump called him out on it even yesterday.
This is a true tragedy, and it's a mistake of the governor, and you could say the administration. They don't have any water. They didn't have water in the fire hydrants. They don't have water. And yet they have, the water comes from, you know where? Up north. And it comes down at levels, they get millions and millions of barrels of gallons of water that they have. And they send it out into the Pacific. For the Pacific, it's like a drop. It's nothing. But for California, it would take care of the whole state.
Yeah, because the snail darter needed the water in the rivers, so they don't want to dam up the rivers and use the water to fight fires and give it to the farmers. This is an insane mess. Trump's been talking about it for years, and now he's accused of politicizing a tragedy. Because you tell the truth? Give me a break. We'll be back with Kim on a Whim in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, the end of an era. Monday's edition of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch was the last one printed locally. The Maryland Heights printing press closed after 146 years of operation. The closure impacts 48 full-time and 24 part-time employees who must now retire or seek new jobs. The shift reflects a broader trend as printing facilities across the U.S. shut down in response to the growing dominance of digital media. The Post-Dispatch will now be printed in Columbia, Missouri, and delivered daily by truck to St. Louis.
Well, you hate to see so many people losing their jobs. These are people who have been doing this for years and years. Their dads did it. This is all they knew, and now they're ultimately going to be out of a job or are out of a job because, like you just heard there in the Fox 2 report, the last locally printed paper was Sunday night.
Yeah.
And this is going to also impact what you, if you still have a subscription to the Post-Dispatch, and I'd be curious to know how many people even have that at this point, or if like many of us, we just go online and we read the paper that way, the headlines, the stories. But that means that if there's a late breaking story or any sports games that happen, obviously at night, you're not because they'll have earlier deadlines, because obviously you're printing it out of Columbia and then they're trucking it over to St. And they have to every day they're driving it. So they're not able, if there's a big, you know, shooting or something like that that happens late at night, they're not able to get that printed in time. So this will have an impact, like I said, on coverage.
Yeah, they interviewed in the Post interviewed one of their own employees, given the fact that Bud Gore, it says here, had missed holidays with his family, left parties earlier, driven through snow and sleet to make it to work like all of us have done for many years. For 38 years, he was a press machinist, helping to print the Post every night. The hours were brutal, but he wouldn't change a thing. We cared about the Post. We took pride in our work. My guess is they're saving money by outsourcing this, correct?
Absolutely. They said that they really want to allocate that money to try to retain a lot of these employees. So in order to pay the staff, the remaining staff that's there, this is, I guess, one of the cost-saving tools they have of outsourcing it to Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah.
How many papers like this are having to make this type of a move? Because things are shifting more to just, it's a digital world.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, it might... My guess is it would be like the guy that serviced the horses and the wagons after the car got built, right? As the car increased in popularity, you could kind of see the end coming if you were aware enough to look for it. And obviously, if it had been your profession for 25 years, a mid-career change is not easy. But, I mean, I haven't taken the newspaper in St. Louis in years, a hard copy of it. The last place I saw one, we used to get them delivered to the newsroom. I don't even see those anymore. The last place I saw Post-Dispatch, no, it was not on the bottom of a birdcage, but it was at the nursing home where my mother lives.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the independent living facility where my mom is. Every day when I go there to visit her, every time I go to visit her, I walk through the lobby. There are people sitting there with their walkers next to them, with the looking at reading the paper.
They got like
a copy,
the hard copy.
They got a copy of the Wall Street Journal in some cases, or the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, because that's what they were used to.
Right.
But nobody these days below the age of 40, maybe 50, is getting a hard copy of that paper.
I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, my parents would ask either me or my sisters to go get the newspaper. That was just what we did. And now that's just not something a lot of kids would even think about. I was on a walk the other week and I noticed a newspaper in my neighbor's driveway. And I thought, wow, it's like seeing a rare bird. You don't see it anymore. And it is kind of sad. But I'm one of those people where I don't want to read a book on a phone. Like a Hoopla is, you know, a free app where you can access all kinds of books from the local library as long as you have a library card, and it's fantastic. I would rather listen to a book. I don't want one of those Kindles where you can read a book like that. There's something about having the hard copy of the book where I actually get to physically turn the page that I really appreciate. So I can understand why people still like the hard copy of the newspaper, but nowadays we're all on the go and it's just easier. As annoying as that paywall is, it's just easier to pull up the website.
Well, there are actually lots of parallels between that book of fiction that you're reading and the daily newspaper.
But I'm bummed.
I'm just saying there could be. I remember when we moved into our new house, we hadn't been there too long, and suddenly, a couple days in a row, we'd wake up and there was a Post-Dispatch in our driveway. And my wife's like, why is that there? Did you order it? I'm like, no, I didn't order. I don't know why it's there. Maybe it was supposed to go to our neighbor's house, and they accidentally dropped it off at our house. And this went on for almost a week. There was a copy of the paper on our driveway. Michelle said, if they keep doing this, I'm going to call them up and threaten to sue them for libel, because I don't want anybody thinking I'm reading that thing. Right?
that's the concern.
Yeah, that was the concern. So eventually it went away, and we haven't had one since. I don't know if they
must have been the former homeowner
to hook on it or something.
No, it wouldn't have been the former homeowner.
No, because this house, nobody's been living in our house for a little while before we moved.
Really?
In,
why would that be? Just to try to hook you?
Yeah.
And they just select random homes to give.
Well, they knew
we
just moved in or something. I don't know. They were kind of hoping. Hey, they may like this antiquated way of getting their news. Why don't we just...
I mean, if you're actually, if your job is to go out and deliver these newspapers, what does your day look like? Is it like you have 10 homes over an eight-hour shift? I mean, it cannot be that many people.
I know,
people
it's changed so much.
Who are still having this paper dropped off.
I used to fill in for my buddy who had the newspaper route in our neighborhood. And each morning at 4 to 5 in the morning, the papers would get dropped off at his house. And then he'd go out in the morning before school and he'd deliver them to the driveways in our neighborhood. And if he was on vacation with his family, he'd give me whatever pay that he would get for that to go do that for the weekend to go deliver them. Boy, those days are gone, aren't they?
Well, yeah, how many people in your generation as a kid, that was their job?
Yeah, a lot of people had a paper route. Yeah,
yeah, no doubt. I know. Well, even in my generation, though, that wasn't really a thing. Even though a lot of people still had the paper, I didn't know anybody who had a paper route growing up.
You know, it's a curse, but a blessing. I mean, the way technology has advanced so quickly, and now we're having the conversation is, some people, not me, is there too much information out there? Because there are people that would love to go back to the days when your only source of information was that newspaper you got in your driveway, or the 5 or 6 p.m. news you'd watch on your local TV news station. Remember, Barack Obama said that. He longed for the days when there was less information available because he knew his friends in the mainstream media would filter the news to fit what they perceived to be the story, as opposed to now where you can find out, for example, my guess is we wouldn't know already at this point because of these fires in L.A., that the mayor had cut $17 million out of the firefighter budget, or that the fire department out there when they got their new LGBTQ fire chief, the first thing she did was create a department of diversity, equity, and inclusion to make sure there were more female and gay firefighters in the, because that's really what's important when it comes to fighting fires, is your pronoun. I mean, I don't know that in the olden days of only a hard copy of the newspaper and two or three sources of news to watch in the evening, they wouldn't have reported on that.
Right. No, I agree. I think it is, well, it's a blessing and a curse, I guess, that there's so much information out there because it can get pretty overwhelming. And
right.
But nowadays, I think many people, especially my generation, they might be, like I said, running around and they don't even want to take the time to read the news on their phone. They want to listen to it because a lot of these outlets, they'll post, you know, here's your top headlines in 5 minutes, and they listen to it on their way to work or wherever they're going for the day. So it's just, there's so many ways, so many podcasts and YouTubers and online content creators. That's like the new trendy thing to do now is to have some sort of a digital influence.
Or people just scan the headline.
Yeah, how many people, really fast, I know we have to go to commercial break. I cannot tell you how many emails I would get at KMOV where I would cover a story and somebody would email me all upset about the headline. And I said, sir, ma'am, did you read the story? Because if you read the story, you'd know that everything contradicts what you just told me.
And
it was very frustrating. And also, I am guilty of doing it sometimes, okay? I admit to it when I'm in a hurry, okay? But ultimately, like, let's take 2 minutes and read it. And now a lot of articles even say how long it's expected to take you to read it. Have you seen that? It'll say like 5 minute read, which I actually appreciate because if you give me like a 15 minute read worth of an article,
not doing it.
I'm out.
Ain't
nobody got time for that.
Yep, got those same complaints. I would agree. And oftentimes you're not the one that wrote the headline. Some producer somewhere put the thing together or changed what you wrote to begin with. All right, we'll get to a quick break. We come back. I want you to hear the story of the LA TV station trumpeting the new DEI policies of the LA Fire Department. We'll be back in just a minute.
Today I've heard Democrats try to deflect and say, you're not allowed to politicize this right now, which means you're not allowed to criticize the decisions that we've made out here in California. I keep hearing climate change all day. Nobody seems to want to take responsibility for the local governance that has led to some of the failures and the devastation that we're seeing. The mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, had one of the most disastrous public appearances I've ever seen in the face of an emergency today when she was incapable of answering questions about her decision making. She had a terrible press conference. There's no local leadership. She was in Africa when this was going on and then had to scramble back. They did cut money from the fire department in Los Angeles.
They cut about $17 million. But
people,
I just want to know.
And people have questions about why that is. It's not. But I just want to know. Politicizing things to raise public policy questions when this devastation occurs.
Can I tell you that I?
Thank you, Scott Jennings. You can hear CNN getting ready to defend the mayor in L.A. Now, we're hoping to get you a couple of reports on what's going on in California here this morning. We've requested William Lajeunesse, who is a reporter for Fox, who's out there. He's been covering this since a couple days now, since the fire started. And also the insurance issue. Apparently, one of the big insurance companies canceled policies for some homeowners in Southern California the week before this fire started. I'm not saying they would then went out and set the fire. I'm not suggesting a conspiracy, but they did cancel. This is a huge problem in America right now.
Well, and then I heard the state was offering some sort of insurance coverage option, but the prices were astronomical.
They would have to be. These are the minimum home price in Pacific Palisades, say, is probably $5 million.
Right.
So then you've got the people saying, well, they're rich people. They can afford it. Yeah, these people lost everything. Mm-hmm. James Wood's house burned down. Can you imagine all of the memories of his career and everything else that went up with it? I mean,
a lot of these
that's
stars,
a human thing.
They're watching their homes burn down. I'm not saying that you have to feel super. Okay, let me say this. It is, like you said, sad when anyone loses their
yes.
home and everything. And Paris Hilton, I know a lot of people are like, well, she's so rich. She probably has multiple homes. I get it. But she said that she watched her home burn down on live TV. Can you just put yourself in her position for a minute and just imagine how devastating that would be?
It doesn't matter where you live or what your home is worth. If it gets burned up, forget about envy for a moment. I mean, these people live in a beautiful spot. Let's face it, they can afford to live there. But this is a tragedy. Now, what they need to do is turn their ire to the idiots that run the city of L.A., right? I mean, it's like St. Louis, like Chicago, like New York City. It is a vacuum of progressive politics. That means in a vacuum, there's no sound. There's no sound other than their crazy, insane leftist policies. And in this case, they decided the fire department could only run if they put people in there that didn't earn it, which is, of course, what DEI stands for. This is the local TV station celebrating the new LGBTQ fire department captain or the chief of the fire department, and the first thing she did when she took over the job, listen.
Every day, the LAFD is called upon to respond to crises, and today it is taking a step to resolve one of its own. The department's first ever Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Bureau will launch in January, 1 year since its first ever female fire chief, Kristen Crowley, was appointed.
So by creating this new bureau, our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Bureau, now we actually have the staff to do the work when it comes to doing a deep dive in regard to how we do business, how we take care of one another in the fire stations and in our work environment.
The plan is to do so by adding training and enforcing accountability. Calls for accountability have echoed for years. In 2021, women's advocacy groups, including one representing female firefighters, pushed for changes at the highest level, saying a system within the department exposes them to abuse, bullying, and a culture of intimidation and retaliation.
I'll bet the people whose houses are burned down are really pissed off about that. That it's just no different than the military worrying about using proper pronouns at the military academies instead of teaching them how to fire a gun and hit a target. You've lost focus on what's important. Nobody wants discrimination, but this was the opposite of discrimination. This was creating discrimination in the fire department and not having enough water in the lines to fight fires. For goodness sake, we'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.